Facing challenges and overcoming setbacks is part of doing business. Whether you have the expertise to survive them or not could mean the difference between success or failure. Welcome to We Are Women, featuring revealing conversations that provide invaluable insights into the success secrets of female masterminds. A must listen for every entrepreneurial woman. Now here's your host, Janine Vosper.
In this morning's podcast of We Are Women, I have with me Jan Muir. Now, Jan and I have known each other for a few years, but I really believe that I'm going to learn so much more about this lovely lady in our interview and our chat and our conversation today. Actually, they're conversations more so than interviews, but they're conversations where we get to know people better and learn a little bit more. So I'm going to read a little bit of Jan's introduction bio because I just found it fascinating and just the things that people go through, and I know there's a lot of people listening that when you come across adversity and challenges that you sometimes think you're alone, and I know Jan's going to talk on that as we go through. So I know, Jan, you had a fairly quiet life until all of a sudden that you were all these adversities were thrown up at you, but I just want to take it back a little bit because you were a top athlete, and even at 10-year-old you reached the state championships in athletics with a gold medal. What sport was that particularly in, Jan, or multiple of sports?
No, primarily the 70 metres and the 100 metres.
Oh,
okay. So sprints.
Super fast.
Yeah.
and that's the thing is with athletics, isn't it? When you're good at something like that, it just becomes a bit of a pathway, and especially when, you know, even at 10-year-old, you probably would have been recognising your championships if you could win a gold medal at a state level.
Oh.
But I know, and you're going to share this story, that it's sort of in one split second, it just took a family member's comment that shattered your dreams and you didn't run again after a certain age. So we'll hear about that. It's great to have those memories, though, of achieving and doing well, I can imagine. So you have witnessed and experienced many life-changing events. And in 1998, you faced losing your partner of 30 years to the disease of Alzheimer's dementia. Now, a lot of people that are in that same position, and it's really, really difficult, isn't it? It's you just it's, watch a person disappear.
Yes. Pardon me, sorry. It's an awful situation to be in. However, what I will say is this. What is occurring for them at that point in time, it's very hard for you to be able to control. And when you've got somebody deplete and go backwards in time frame, yes, it does take a bit out of the whole. It's a journey and a half. That's the best way that I can describe it. And I'm grateful for that experience because it put me on a different pathway.
Okay, yeah. And you were living in Darwin at the time, so you moved to Brisbane, and then he passed away in 2002. So, mm-hmm. And your daughter moved back to Darwin, so she's living up there still now, and she's got a couple of children.
Yes.
Yeah. And I have noticed some photos recently of your grandchildren as well.
Yes. Just recently. I saw them recently, so I don't get to see them very often, so I've got to take advantage when I can.
Yeah, it's something to treasure,
isn't it? I envy you.
I am very spoiled. They're 20 minutes away, and I get to see them. Get to see them a lot. In 2005, you were diagnosed with pre-cervical cancer, but because you caught it in time, that was all clear. That's really good news, and it's actually, we're not going on that topic, but it's a promotion for women to make sure that they get regular checks so that, And 6 months after that, you were diagnosed with breast cancer and faced some radical surgery to fight. And what you say is to keep your dream alive again. So, you know, there's things, isn't it? Then that's what we're going to be talking about, is how to keep that dream alive within adversity. In 2007, after 9 months away from employment, you gradually got back to work. And then in 2012, you were retrenched.
Ooh.
Yeah, so that was with the public service, and I think we all know what happened in Queensland around 2012 with the public service. No, fortunately, that's changing now. You do make a mention that in 2009 you had a chance to study Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. Now that's a book that and a business style that I have been studying and practicing for many years. So when as soon as I read that in your bio, I thought, oh, that explains so much. I just
it's a gem on its own, and sometimes I think you've actually got to go through that experience and really come to the appreciation of what it is, and then you find your passion.
Yes, absolutely. And it's just incredible that it was written such a long time ago and it's relevant to today in 2017 as it was when it was written. So we're going to start talking about your book as well. So you haven't put – interesting here, Jan, you didn't put the name of your first book.
Oh, no.
Yes. And I know that it's been published once and then you've had your second edition already, so.
But I forgot to tell you what it was.
I did.
Primarily it's called The Well-Used Key, Unlock Your Inner Potential.
Oh, I love it. The Well-Used Key, Unlock Your Inner Potential. And you've got another book on the way as well, which we'll discuss about later, called Vision to Win. So that's due out early February. That's
all going well. All going well.
That is so exciting. That's only a couple of weeks away.
When
you're listening to this and it's not being broadcast in January 2007, it may be later than that when you eventually hear this recording. But anyway, that book will definitely be published by them, which is called Vision to Win by Jan Muir. Now, I just tell me all of that, you know, what comes down to a belief that you have about life and your life's journey?
My own, I learned at a very young age that I had to believe that I was able to achieve anything that I put my mind to. Mm-hmm. And winning gold medal became the proof of that. Did I fully understand that at 10 years of age? No. But I'm grateful that I had a coach to be able to push me through that. So as I've got older and life's challenged me in the way that it has, I've come to really understand that we all have that power within us. And I call it power because it is an element of connecting to our higher self. And we can do anything we put our mind to. Mm. And it all comes from within. You make the decision, you get the feeling, you know you can do this, feel the passion, get in, take some action. Oh, God, I'm already doing it. Can you feel it?
I can feel it across the airways.
So it all comes from within, and just believe that you can achieve. That's the name of my business. I believe I achieve.
I believe I achieve. Yeah, that's Ooh. And part of that is too, when you actually get that and you know that you're influencing every result by every choice that you make, and it's not to do with external influences at all, the responsibility becomes huge, but also the rewards become a lot more beneficial, don't they? Because you know that you've created that for yourself.
Totally, totally. And I'm going to say at this point in time for me, it's like a heavy task that I'm going through. There's lots of little things that have got to be done, but during the point in time, I'm doing this for me. This is my outcome. This is my end result. Everything I'm doing because I can achieve this. And that gives you a great resilience inside that you want to keep going. And you've never wanted to give up.
Yeah.
That's a bonus.
And I know with the new book that's coming out, Vision to Win, that is, you know, along those lines and to do with your athletics days. But it's also, you know, inspiring young adults, isn't it? That's part of your passion.
Oh, totally, totally, totally. Look, for me, the passion has always been in my life. It got crushed at a very young age and I didn't understand why, how come, what for. Had no idea of what was happening for the power of understanding the subconscious. We never did. It was never taught. Just get on with it, sweep it under the carpet, whatever the circumstances at that time. And you get to a point now at this age in life and think, wow, all of those things that were occurring, where I could have done better, what I could have done with a better understanding. The children of today are getting a better appreciation because we're teaching it on as an awareness and something that they can actually grow into, where we are much older at this age, 60, to, you know, to say, wow, if I'd have known all of this back then.
Yeah, I was at an event last night and I was talking to I've just really discovered that they're called millennials, the, you know, that next generation. And and that's what I'm finding is they're just, I mean, there's still, you know, a lot. One guy in particular was saying that, you know, there's a lot to learn and that's what he's doing is working with that group. But I think that they're seeing that there's more potential. There's not just the traditional way of thinking, and they're looking for alternative ways of thinking. So, and your work as an intuitive awareness coach and building on their self-esteem, it is obviously, you know, assists in that process for those that need it and are looking for that opportunity to grow.
Yeah. And I think the younger generation, I'll use my two grandchildren as an example here. Now, unbeknownst to my daughter, and as true as I sit here sharing this with you, I used the information out of Think and Grow Rich. I whispered in my first grandchild's ears, you will be a millionaire. You will have a connection with being able to attract money into your life. Mm. Now, at 5 years of age, he went to his father's boss and asked for a job.
Isn't that fabulous?
Yeah, the mother's going basically like, oh, look, you know, Reese did this and Reese did that. Oh, we're so proud of Reese. And I'm thinking, wow.
Yeah.
It made me realise just how much I impregnated, because the mind was ready to be opened and hear, and he hadn't heard anything else.
Yes.
So now his whole generation is around, what can I do for a little bit of extra money?
Yes.
What can I do for, you know, gaining income or a strategy towards it? Now, he's gone through a phase where that's forgotten, but there'll come another phase where it'll come back again. So I didn't get the same chance with the second child.
Okay, yes.
Right? I had minimal to no communication with the second child. Mm. And totally different. He's a wildfire. So it's really interesting, that whole experience I did, just a witness for myself.
Yeah, yeah, that's it's extremely powerful, isn't it? Now, we've talked a little bit about you, but what's your why? I mean, I understand you've gone through those adversities, and you know, but really, there has to be something behind you that just goes, "This is it. This is why I do this, and this is where my passion is."
Janine, this story that I share with people touches everybody, and I say it with as much authenticity as possible, because I've come to really understand the impact of what happened to me as a child. I had been in the athletic field, and I had been also competing in senior events, and a situation was I had run against Raylene Boyle.
All right.
And
people tend to know that name.
Yeah. Well, she was one of Australia's best sprinters.
Yes.
When you're in competition with her, she's a fierce one. She knows she's got the drive. But I had a knowing inside of me that I could beat her with some training. Mm-hmm. I hadn't been training to full capacity. And then there was a story around a family gathering one Christmas, and we were looking at aspirations, what was going to, you know, inspire us to reach. And I just shared, I wanted to run in either the Munich or the Montreal Games,
mm-hmm.
in the Olympic Games.
Yeah.
And somebody in the background said, what makes you think you're good enough?
Wow. And your inner voice heard that.
Yeah. Oh, massively. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what was happening then, but I honestly never ran again. The passion, the drive, everything just stopped.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just amazing when you witness that, you have an appreciation. I've shared that story with my mum and my dad, and my mum goes, yeah, rah, 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 and my dad goes, oh, I do think I remember something about that.
Mm.
And, you know, you just sort of trigger a little point in them and, oh, well, no, you didn't run again, did you? And you realise how much conditioning factor, negative, positive, whatever it was at that point in time, has impacted all of your life.
Yeah.
This was the reason why I said to my grandchild, you will have an attraction to bring money to you.
Yes. Yeah, and and that's where it is. It's that subconscious belief, which we manifest physically as well. So yeah, it's a sad to hear that sort of story where you know that potential is just snuffed out because of one statement. But it happens all the time, and people aren't aware that statement they're making is going to have that effect either.
Exactly. It's
not done from cruelty a lot of the time, or, you know, we're not talking about abusive situations. We're just talking about somebody making a throwaway comment.
Correct. You know, the scary part about all of this was that while I was going through my journey of chemo, it was a cousin that actually said to me, and she was challenging me because I'd probably dropped my bundle quite significantly, as you're right in the middle of other stuff.
Mm.
And her voice, her message and her voice was so clear. She said, why didn't you keep running?
Mm.
And I looked at her and I don't know. I just said, yeah, it just didn't happen. But you had it in your hands. And she challenged me, and that had me then go back. And I did quite a bit of meditation around to find that point.
Mm. And so, do you think that, you know, that running towards a goal then as you were going through the chemotherapy, do you think that became part of a mindset for you once you went back into figuring out what it was?
Yeah. Although prior to that, a part of my journey was, and I've actually done this in many times in life, I have an ability to be able to sit down and, if I could say, map it out. And whilst I don't necessarily map it out in a structured map, I give myself a little bit of clarity with words here and words there and, you know, try and join the dots, for want of a better word, where my journey around the cancer side of things, I sat down and drew out what was the outcome for me.
Oh, okay. I haven't heard anyone doing that before.
No, the doctor was amazed, absolutely amazed, that I took in a scaled map drawn to my size of breast, drawn to scale on the piece of paper, and I handed it to him and I just said to him, I don't have much choice here. This is my results. And he turned back to me and he says, Jan, it will be an honour to operate on you. Because
wow.
He knew I was clear in my head.
Mm.
I showed him what the outcome would be for my circumstances and I had to have a mastectomy.
Yeah. I'm just thinking aloud here that just it's a bit like, you know, that we're putting our vision boards together at this time of year. It's just what we tend to do, or those of us that are, you know, goal setters and working towards goals and outcomes and dreams that we want to achieve. But to do it in that sort of concept, that just brings a whole new level to it, doesn't it? You know, it's the same as, you know, the injury, the shoulder injury. So then to create a visual and to make a statement about where you want that shoulder injury to go. That's very powerful.
Yeah. Let me just go back and I'll finish off the why.
Mm.
The purpose and the reason that I share that part of the story is because I realized how much I lost my dream as a teenager.
Mm.
I realised just how much, if this happened to me 40 years ago, how many is it happening to now?
Mm.
So that's why my why is so strong around spreading the message towards the teenager, because my own personal dream was lost.
Mm. And have you seen changes in the students or the students and the young adults that you're working with? You know, you got
yes and no. Some do, some don't. I mean, it's a situation where you've got to go right back because some of this is implanted in between the ages of 5 to 10.
Mm, that's what they say, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's a statement, if you know, get a child before they're 7 or something. And
yes.
Yeah.
And being able to take the child back to that, you've got to be careful how that's also done because, you know, could bring up extra pain, you don't know whether it'll bring up anger, all of those facets. Mm. But you do it as gently as possible. And I'll just digress momentarily here. I love the process called Ho'oponopono by Joe Vitale.
I've never heard of that.
Oh, okay. please forgive me. Okay. I'm sorry. Thank you. I love you. And you say those four phrases. I've just had a chip come off my spine. Mm.
Please forgive me. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
I love you.
I love you. Please forgive me for anything that I may have done in life or anything that I may have hurt on anybody else. Thank you for everything that has come my way, and thank you for all of those good things that have happened. I'm sorry for anything that has been done to you, or I've hurt you, or anything of that nature. And, of course, I love you. I bring that all back around myself. Joe Vitale is the primary person that brought that all out. Mm-hmm. And those four phrases said over and over and over and over. Go to sleep saying those four phrases to yourself. It's not an instant fix, but it's a long-term fix.
Okay. Can you just repeat them again? Please forgive me.
Please forgive me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I love you.
Okay.
And okay. Joe Vitale, Vitale. Po, opo, oh no.
Po, opo.
It's a Hawaiian, I can never remember this part of it. It's a Hawaiian chant that they do, and the actual Dr. Hula Hooligan, something like that name, he was working in a mental clinic, and he said, right, well, we're going to try and shift this. So he started reading a client's file, the client sitting over there in the room, and within days he started making changes away from his anger, away from everything. It's a vibrational thing. The doctor was saying it, but the effect was on the person.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
powerful, isn't it?
Very,
yeah.
Very powerful.
Yeah, okay, no, I'm definitely look it up, and I'm sure that the people listening will find that of interest as well. Mm. Yeah, find that sort of thing quite fascinating. So, yeah, so that's an important why, though, isn't it? And that's one of the things that, you know, I encourage people when I'm working with them as well, is to find your why. You know, it's one thing to say that you're going into business or you're doing things for yourself, but unless you're passionate, your why is passionate, then you're going to run out of energy and run out of enthusiasm. But if your why is strong, then you keep going, because it's important to you.
Totally agree. Mm. And the thing behind it all there is, if there is a recognition, this is something that really resonates for me as a mentor, as a facilitator, as a coach. I've already experienced this.
Mm.
And that, I think, is so much more powerful than somebody that goes and learns from the book.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I don't discredit those people, but if you tell me you've actually, you know what that passion is, you know what that drive is, you know what it is that you really want to get, so you can say it with such passion.
Mm.
You know, yeah. I think that's different, and that's what puts some of us in a unique basket, because we've lived it. I've got the medals to show it.
Yeah, literally.
You know what I mean?
Quite literally, yeah. Not just metaphorically, but quite
exactly.
Literally.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. And I think the other part of that, so the extension one is experiencing it. The second part is living the life that you are, and being congruent and being authentic in how you live your life as to what you're coaching as well, because I think that's one of the things that I know when I see people in a state of distress is when they, and dis-ease is when they are not living congruently with their, you know, what they're touting, actually, you know. So it's inauthentic then as
true.
Well.
And I mean, whilst I admit I do have to look for a part-time job, the balance of my time is spent writing, reading, implementing everything to make it better. Mm. I've got a 5-course process that part of it's been done, but I'm going back to redo it again. So I'm always in that space because I'm passionate about it.
Mm. Yeah. It certainly comes across as well. Hey, something that I didn't tell you I was going to do, but I'm just doing with the people that I'm interviewing from now on, is I'm asking them to think about one word that's going to describe their year. Something that is them and what their plans are for the year. So you don't have to answer it now, but Or if you can. Oh, you can. Oh, beautiful. Yeah. So what's that word for you this year, Jan?
I have two words, mm-hmm. empowering mm-hmm. intuition.
Empowering intuition. Yep. Okay. Yeah. So that's because, a focus this year is just being going along with intuitive. And I know that comes with part of your teachings as well, is that intuitiveness, isn't it? Mm.
Exactly. Yeah. The thing is, until we connect to that in ourself, until we feel that in ourself, we can't necessarily be that in ourself.
Mm. Yes.
And that's the part that, you know, I get into a space, a bubble that I just feel, wow, I just want to keep going in this bubble. And you have to get pulled off path sometimes and you've got to break the bubble because you've got to take a left turn or a right turn or a back end flip.
As we do, but then you then get back in the flow. Now, comes down to, you know, I know that there's things that you do within your coaching. So I'm going to ask for some, you know, ideas and points that you particularly work on when you're working with, I know you're working with young people, you also work with women as well, and it all flows through. So, what particular, you know, flowing on from what you were just saying, what particular training and specific thoughts that you can offer the listeners to take away?
Well, for me, I'm always asking myself a better question.
Okay.
Now, I follow a principle here that comes from wealth dynamics, mm-hmm. and it follows the questions around yes, agree, what is your why, your what, when, where, and who.
Mm-hmm.
Now, those questions are, when we know what our why is, why are we doing this? We must get congruent with that. I'm doing this because my dream as a teenager was lost. Mm. That's my connection to it. What am I doing? What is the next thing that I can do that can move me forward? It's a question that then challenges me. I'm able to ask a question around what. We never ask, how do I get there?
Yeah.
Okay. Always ask the question around what can I do? Where can I go? When is about the timing element. Now, with every goal that we've set, we've always been advised to put a timeline in. Now, that can be 6 months, 2 years, 4 years, 10 years, whatever the circumstances is for you. But I try and keep it back as per a month goal. When will I get this done by? When will I achieve this? If I'm, for instance, and we're now looking and speaking from a book perspective, I give myself a 2-year period to get a book down, focused, organized, structured to the end result. The thing is, when you ask a question around the what, when, where, and who is somebody I can talk to, your brain goes looking for new information. Your brain sets out to find a vibrational match that will come back and answer you. It's not instant. It could be 3 days. It could be 6 hours. But when you challenge and ask a better question, you get a better answer.
Yeah, and look, I totally agree. And, you know, being a sales coach, that's the most important thing you could do is ask the right questions and listen instead of telling, which is vital. And there's actually a book I'm reading or listening to at the moment, and I can't think of the authors, but it's called Power Questions. It's probably one of the best books I've listened to on that particular type of subject. So if people out there can, if interested, it's called Power Questions. There is a subtitle to it, but I can't remember what it is, but I'm sure
I'll get another book title to you. Questions A Wise Woman Asks.
Okay. All right, questions
a wise woman asks. I was recommended the book and it came from a lady from overseas. I've now connected with that lady and I found that a tipping point of change for me.
Oh, fantastic.
So I will get that book to you because it's all about questions.
Yes.
And the way that you're asking the question.
Yeah, Yeah. And so, you know, and that's, we talked about people knowing their why, and then, you know, what are you doing? As you said, it's that goal setting and taking those action steps. But, and you said where, what was the where point?
The where point comes in from, I'm just double checking here. Where can I go to get more information? So you may need to go to the library. You may need to do a course. You may need to be in a situation where you've actually got to go and ask, you know, Uncle Harry, who knows a policeman who's a friend, and talk to that policeman. Mm. It's all about, where do you go to get more information? Mm. Where is that information stored? Because there is an answer to whatever your question is.
Okay.
Right?
You never know, do you? You never know who you talk to as to someone that can, and that's part of letting people know what you do, as opposed to selling information,
to people,
people knowing, and then they'll assist you in building those valuable networking contacts as well.
And I'll also share too, Janine, there at that point in time, when you ask a specific question, another gem will fall your way.
Mm.
I have witnessed this over and over and over again, because subconsciously I'm asking other questions in the back of my mind that I don't necessarily know are the verbal questions, and which means that I'm in the process of sending a vibrational match out there, and I'll talk to Johnny and Johnny will give me the answer to the question, and then he'll say, oh, but there's Henry over there and Henry just knows about X, Y, Z, and I'll think, oh, that's the person I need to go and speak to.
Yes.
And it's just a little synergy of a ripple effect. I love it when that happens.
Yeah. Interesting. I was at an event the other night and I mentioned that I have this passion to be able to speak to women who are coming out of university and going into the workforce in India particularly, because they have – They're not given the opportunity that Western women are, which I know is, a lot of the times we say that Western women are held back, but they still have a lot more opportunities compared to the men in the workforce, and they're not quite valued as much. And so they're, now they're becoming well educated, but they're still not being able to have that confident voice. Yeah. And I mentioned this to an event with somebody. Within 10 minutes, someone that has done some of my courses came up to me and said, I've just emailed this guy I know in India who runs training courses, and here's his email address, and he said to get in touch.
Wow. So there's the ripple effect. You never know when it's going to go.
Very exciting, I know, and it's that's one of your other points, isn't it, is just going with intuition.
Oh, it's massive, Janine. The beautiful thing about this is when we are in flow and we are actually connecting to everything that is working with us, for us, about us, you know, we just feel, I just feel excited. But the other thing being is that there's a passion inside of me that wants to keep moving forward. So I've asked all the right questions. I've been given this bit of information. I've been shared another ripple effect. Then I know everything's starting to fall into place. And everything that I'm touching, everything that I'm doing, everything that I'm seeing, wow, that connects back to that. What else can I do? And you get this little bit of a flow-on effect of role, for want of better words, that you just feel like you're rolling. And nothing is a struggle. You want to get out of bed. There is a passion to be out of bed. You get out of bed and go, hooray! Well, maybe not so much hooray, but
I get up at 4:30 in the morning. I do get up. The hooray part comes about half an hour later.
But I go, I mean, because of where my journey has been, I always say, thank you, I'm alive. What can I do today?
Yes.
You know, and even though I had a porky pickler of a day yesterday, I still said, okay, I'm alive. I can still do something. What is the next thing that I can do? So, you know, when you get into flow, the energy around that, nothing is difficult. It's just a beautiful, wow, that person spoke to that. Oh, wow, that, I can talk to that person and get more information, or I can go and look up that book. When you're in flow, it's just absolutely a magical place to be. And you know, because your intuition is not conjecting anything, it's not rejecting anything, it's not giving any impact, don't do that. It's actually saying, go. And you just feel like you're absolutely in flow, and it's a beautiful place.
And what about the opposite? I mean, identifying the opposite. How does that feel?
I had one of those days yesterday. Look, the opposite is in a situation where I'm going to say the 35 years in public service.
Right.
There are some areas there that I did not at all enjoy. Notice the difference in my voice. Notice yes. the distinction of the words. Yeah. There were things that I absolutely hated doing. So I was not in flow. I was not getting the best out of me to give the best to them because I had to do it in a pressure. So you know what it is when you're in flow and you know when you're doing something that's against your grain on what you're here to do.
I love that you just, what you just said, that you weren't giving the best when you're not in flow as well. And I Correct. Think that's something that I recognize in people is that they're trying to do things because they think it's the right thing to do. And instead, they're doing exactly that. They're not giving them the best. So it's like when people don't look after themselves first and they put other people first.
Correct.
In the long run, that actually means that you're letting people down. But it's a bit of a hard realization that. But again, it's because that they're not able to give their best.
Yeah. Now, let me come from a slightly different angle here, and this is probably going to throw a spanner in your works.
Oh, that's okay.
As a up-and-coming speaker, right, mm-hmm. when I first started out, I had a knowing inside of my head, I can do this. This is mm-hmm. what I want to do. This is passion. But when it came down to the nitty-gritties, oh, I don't know that I really want to do this because of all of the challenges that came. The rejections of you don't say that, you don't do this, you didn't raise your hand, you didn't stand here, you did this, you didn't do that. Whatever, you get all of that impact and you think, oh, is this really me? You know, I really went on a pathway to say, I can do better than that.
Yes.
So I was not in flow when I was learning something new.
Is that something that you've noticed happens with Everything. All the time?
Yeah.
It is. Okay.
It is because I'm a people person, and if somebody says go over there and do cold calling, I don't like doing that. Mm. It is not the thing. I can get on there and do it, but it's not the thing that I enjoy doing.
You are 99.9% of the population. I'm one of the random few. I've spoken to about three other people as well.
Thank you. We've got you. You're the 80-20 rule.
I think it's way different than it's a 99 rule.
Yeah, but the bottom line is when you're sometimes learning something new, you can feel totally out of flow until you get the gist of it, till it actually starts to become part of you. And if you're passionate about what it is that is occurring, then of course it'll be in flow. If you're trying to be an architect and you want to be a plumber, then you're going to get restrictions. Something's not going to go right. The pressure around it, you're going to feel stressed all the time. You're not in flow.
But maybe sometime, because, I'm one for sort of grabbing people and just taking them right out of their comfort zone and throwing them to the wind and go, here you go, have a go at that. So maybe, though, as you just said, when you're learning something, it's difficult to be in flow because it's uncomfortable because it's something, a new skill that we have to learn or a new situation that we have to experience.
Exactly.
So recognizing that, yeah, see, that's the difference, isn't it? Recognizing that that's something that is going to, of course, be a challenge because it is new, as opposed to being in flow when things are going easily, is to still take those challenges and still step out of the comfort zone.
Correct.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I'll use an introvert and an extrovert, right? Yeah. My partner is introvert, right? He's the opposite to me, absolute opposite. There was no way he would pick up a microphone, let alone stand on the stage.
Yes.
Right? But if I ask him to crowd control and he can just meander through and wander and do things of that nature, he's happy to do it. Right? But to push him and put him on a stage, there is no way he would even do it. No, so sometimes you've got to look at the personalities as well.
Absolutely. And that's not in his plan. See, that was in your plan, though.
Oh, okay, I'll get that. I'm trying to use it as an example of sometimes it's the personality that actually can also, because there are introverts that step up and be damn good speakers.
Oh, absolutely. And they, you don't have to be an extrovert to be a speaker.
No,
not at all. It's introvert and extrovert is more how you process information internally or externally. Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, he who washes the cars in the house here. look, I've been married 35, 36 years, 37 years this year. So, you know, I usually refer to my husband as he who, he who does stuff. It's very handy. But again, he does training because he has to do it at work, but he's never going to go. He finds it work and not joy, whereas that's the difference, isn't it?
That's the difference.
And just one last thing I know that you're talking about too that you wanted to share is how you use visualization.
Okay. In this particular instance, I'm just going to go do a quick little exercise so that we can visualize it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Primarily as a 10-year-old, I was using a traffic light as my visualization for my race.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Dad's driving, I'm sitting behind my father, I'm looking out the car window, I take a line, imaginary line of all of the cars in the follow opposite lanes, and then I use the red as on your marks. I then see yellow, set.
Mm-hmm.
Green, of course, was go. Now, my dad had a heavy foot. He was pretty hot off the mark, and I would then use the intersection as my race.
Okay.
Right? Now, I'm doing this as a 10-year-old.
Wow. Okay.
The power of the mind at that point in time was phenomenal.
And it wasn't taught to you. You just thought this will work.
Mm. I just did it. I don't know why, but I'm just sitting there like looking out the car window and, I'll take one over there. Okay, ready, set, go. Now, my dad was a starter at the races as well, so consequently he wanted to get there early because he was an organiser in the functions. But the bottom line is how I visualised my race in that short period of space between one side of the intersection to the other. Being able to visualise that as the race and my power and my vehicle was my father driving fast, we would get there 98% of the time.
So how are you using visualizations now?
Same way. I don't necessarily use the traffic lights.
No, but you obviously have other...
I have other ways in which I can say, for instance, I see myself already on stage. I see myself being able to interact and walk through the crowd of audiences and be able to just say, hi, how are you going? What are you getting out of this event? You know, and really I feel myself in that space. And I'm able to say, like, if we want to go on a trip, say, to Italy, I will look at an Italy picture, I will walk away from that, and 3 days later I'll see that same picture in my mind, okay, that's where I'm going to go. There's something about that place that I know I need to go to.
Yes.
It's the same as when I go, I love driving, so I can get in the car and just drive anywhere, and I will get a feeling that says, turn right here. Okay, well, this next right. And I have found the most magnificent beaches, cliffs, waterfalls, everything, and I didn't even know they existed. There is a knowing inside and I get this vision of I need to go there because whatever that is at that time, waterfall in a rainforest.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know that it was there. Just something happens.
And something's just popped in my mind with that is that sometimes when when we're putting it as a driving metaphor, when some people I know just go to a destination. I know someone recently that just spent 4 weeks in driving around France. And I said, so how was it? And he said it was just exhausting. He just drove all day and got to a destination. And drove all day and got to a destination. And drove all day and got to a destination for 4 weeks. And I thought, how much has he missed on the way? And that's part of that's that metaphor with your goal setting, isn't it? You know, without a destination, we don't know where we're going to end up. We don't know where we want to go to. But if we want to drive to Paris and there's a lot of really interesting things along the way that may be distracting and not beneficial to our trip, But there are also things that, as you said, intuitively you go, you know what, I just need to take this detour and appreciate where I am and what I'm doing at this moment.
Correct.
Yeah.
Back 2001, 2000, I drove 7 weeks around Australia. Mm-hmm. And I had no set plan. I had no set specific place to be at any point in time. But I would just ask myself, okay, what is it that I need to see along this part of the woods? And I never stayed on the main highway. That's where we run into problems. Time becomes an issue. We've got to get here. We've got to be somewhere else. Oh, we're going to be there. And we forget to take the side road. I took the side roads on this particular journey, and this is why I found so many little nooks and crannies of places, you know, that were unique, and I needed at that time because it was a time that I could just sit and be at peace.
Yes. Yeah, it reminds me of my favourite poem, the Robert Frost poem, The Road Not Taken, which way to go. So, look, just rounding everything up, it's been really interesting, and I always love it because I'm never sure where conversations are going to go as well. Three takeaway points. So for the people that are listening, what three points, if you're going to say this is my recommendations from the discussion we've had today, what would you certainly offer up?
Okay, well, first of all, I think we have to go back to the questions. Always be mindful of what questions you are asking yourself. If you ask in the how am I going to get there, how am I going to do that, how's this going to happen, you're actually defeating before you've even got there. It's the why, the what, the when, the where, and the who.
Who, yeah.
Right? The how will always show up. That's how you end up doing it. But you can't ask how until you know the rest. And put it into, you know, some order. So always be mindful of questions. The inner voice, that little voice that we all hear inside our head going, yes, do this, don't do that, can't do this, you can't do that, you can have this, you can't have that. Okay, stop it. Whenever you're going to make a decision on something, just allow yourself to sit quietly and tune that little voice into only what you want it to do to move you forward. It's a guide for you. If you hear so much chatter, you have to take your step away and just go and do something completely different, then come back. Okay, right now, I'm here now. A question, what is the next thing I need to do? Sit. Okay, write. If it says write, just go and write, because whatever you're writing will actually, the more you dump out, the genie will appear. You know, so always be mindful of what that inner voice is saying. And again, the inner voice and the next thing come together because of meditation. If we can sit and be quiet, we actually, the meditation factor is what actually brings it a way to be able to see something happening in our mind. We all have this ability to visualize where we want ourselves to go. Just some of us haven't exercised that muscle enough.
Yes.
You know, so just sit quietly. It's always beneficial.
And we don't do that enough, do we? Just that quiet, especially when, life is just busy and we just seem to be full steam ahead all the time to actually take that time. So asking yourself those questions and paying attention to that inner voice to guide you, and then just sit quietly and think about, you know, what is that way forward that will suit you the best and take that time.
And sometimes it's not thinking though, Janine. Sometimes it's actually just allowing that thought to come up, and this is why that form of meditation just allows us to be still.
I'm glad you picked me up on that. My PT picks me up on that all the time.
Sorry.
No, I'm glad you did. Thinking and doing. So when did you stop and relax? Well, I
didn't.
That's usually my answer. I was in the pool. What did you do then? I read. Well, that's stopping.
Exactly. And I think it's a situation like I did 2 hours of meditation yesterday. Sometimes you've just got to go in that space and put the headphones on, zone out, just be in that place, because that's when more genius information will come to you.
Absolutely. Yes, and that's prompted me. Oh, I do need those reminders as well. So, look, is there anything else you want to add, Jan? We're just about finished with time, but they've covered so much really worthwhile and valuable information. I have so enjoyed our conversation. Is there anything else that you think,
Off the top of my head, all I could say at this point in time, if anybody wants to touch base with me, they can via the janmuir.com.au website. Mm-hmm. That is also going to be changing very soon. Keep your eye out for I Believe I Achieve website. I'm in the throes of bringing that all together.
Okay.
They can also connect with me, if they like, on author Jan Muir page.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
on Facebook, create conversations.
Yes. On Facebook. I'm always dotting about here and there. I'm not an avid user of it, but I do pop up here and there. And, of course, you know, the well-used key book, if you're listening and you want to gain a copy of the book or the new book, Vision to Win, drop me a line through the Jamia website, say that you've heard from the Janine Vosper podcast, and I will give you a 5% sale.
Oh, that's always nice too. Yeah, thank you for that. So we're looking at it. The Janmuir website is janmuir.com.au, and in future, coming up will be the I Believe, I Achieve. Will that be .com.au website?
Yeah, I think so. It is. Yes,
yep.
I think it
okay.
is. Yes.
And looking for those 5% discount off the price for the books, The Well-Used Key, and, of course, the new book coming up, The Vision to Win, which is coming out in February. So by the time we hear the podcast, it'll probably be released anyway.
Yeah.
And connecting with author Jan Muir on Facebook. Thank you very much for this interview, conversation this morning, Jan. It's been really enjoyable. So much valuable information. And for our listeners, that's another episode of the We Are Women podcast. I look forward to sharing more stories and more conversations in the future. Bye for now.
So, do you feel stuck in a rut in business? Visit speechperfect.com.au and download Janine's free ebook to avoid the 5 most common stumbling blocks women face in business. It's jam-packed full of tips to overcome the barriers that could be holding you back from the success that you dream your business will be. We would love you to leave a review of today's episode and share this podcast with other women in need of entrepreneurial inspiration. Subscribe to the next episode now and join the We Are Women community.